let him introduce himself to you. But it is Josh Farrow. He's the executive director at Gateway Area Development District. So he's been there a little over 8 years and been new in this role for the past 3 months. How about that? So welcome, Josh.
Good afternoon, everyone. First, I want to say thank you to Tracy for inviting me to come out today. This is the first time I've done this presentation, so bear with me. Tracy jumped the gun on us. We had planned to start going out to our local communities and nonprofit organizations, but Tracy wanted it a little bit sooner than what we were ready for. So we worked the last 2 days to put together a slideshow, so I hope I know it well enough to at least talk about some of the points. I will tell you a little bit about myself, Josh Farrow. I'm a Morgan County native. I've worked at Gateway Area Development District for the last 8 years in the Project Development and GIS Department. I graduate from Morehead State University, and I've been in my current capacity for the last 3 months. So I've been learning a lot, and I must say I have a great team around me that's really helped out. So I do have some notes that I'm going to read from, but for the most part, I will just talk from the slides. So to get started, Gateway Area Development District is a multi-county organization that serves 5 counties, Bath, Menifee, Montgomery, Morgan, and Round counties. We are charged with planning, promoting, coordinating programs for regional, economic, and social development in our 5-county service region. The organizational structure of the district represents and responds to the elected and appointed officials of member counties, cities, and special agencies within these government entities, and also to the citizens. So if you look at the slide, you'll see that we have a 16-person board, the county judge executive, the mayor of the county seat, and then we also have a citizen member representative from each county that is appointed by the mayor and the judge of each respective county. So that would total up 15. We also have one regional voting member that usually comes from a business sector that touches multiple counties. And right now we have an individual from the Walker Company based out of Mount Sterling. Bryce Walker is our regional member. We also have 13 ex officio members. So that is the city government, the mayor from the city government that is not the county seat, such as Mayor Bolt here in Round County. And we also have our 7 legislative, state legislators for our area are also ex officio members. We have a total of 29 staff on payroll, and we grew overnight by 10. A few months ago, we recently took over our senior center operations from a subcontractor that had done that for the better part of 30 years. They were no longer able to continue service, so we had to hire individuals to run our senior center program. And we'll touch on that a little bit more later in the presentation. But as I mentioned, we cover 5 counties, a population of about 82,000 people, and we serve not only our units of government, but individuals and also businesses as well. And as you can see, we've been around for 49 years right now, so 2019 is going to be a really big year for us. We'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary. Very brief history of the area development districts, and I'm going to refer back to my notes real quick. The Area Development District concept originated in Kentucky under the Governor Burt T. Combs administration in 1961. There are 15 Area Development Districts across the state. They all vary in sizes. And there are also other Area Development Districts or Councils of Government in other states. So this is a concept that we just call each other different things in other states. And here's a very brief timeline. In 1965, the Public Works and Economic Development Act, that's kind of how the Area Development Districts, the Council of Governments, and came about. In 1966, in Kentucky, the first Area Development District was formed, and that was Fiveco Area Development District. They set just to our east. They cover Carter, Greenup, Boyd County, that area. And in 1969, Gateway Ad was formed. Some other key points. We have several state and federal, we receive state and federal funding. So we have contracts from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, from the Kentucky Infrastructure Authority, and several other entities. So there's just some benchmarks when things have come across. I'm not going to go into a lot of that. One thing I do want to mention is Senate Bill 409, which many of you may be aware of, for water and wastewater planning in our five-county area. This is a contract with the Kentucky Infrastructure Authority, so we help provide planning services and a water management council, which provides long-term planning where utilities and local officials get together, and we meet quarterly, and we'll touch on that again in just a second. We also help our units of local government with a hazard mitigation plan. This is a document that's updated every 5 years, and all of our units of government adopt this plan. It's a very interactive process, and we actually just completed that. And in order for a local unit of government to receive funding from FEMA in the event of a natural disaster, they have to have a hazard mitigation plan that's been adopted. So this is something we help our units of government with. As I mentioned, we receive local, federal, and state funding. There's a lot of acronyms in there, but just as I mentioned, we receive funding from Transportation Cabinet. Aging is a very big part of our budget, and that's through the Department of Aging and Independent Living, who is a state organization. Appalachian Regional Commission, the FEMA funding that you see there, that's once every 5 years when we do a hazard mitigation plan update, so that's not always in our budget. The JFA is the Joint Funding Administration, and that comes through the Department for Local Government, which is a state entity, and they receive funding from, they're classified in both federal and state because they receive funding from ARC and also the Economic Development Administration. So that funding enables us to provide grant loan application support for our units of local government to help them prepare and plan for projects for the future. We have two primary departments in our organization, Aging and Human Services and the Department for Planning, Project Development, and Mapping. First, I just want to hit on our Aging and Human Services. There's our mission statement, promote the dignity and independence of senior citizens by serving as an advocate for seniors and promote the development of a comprehensive coordinated system of care that is responsive to the needs of older people and family caregivers. And here's a brief rundown of some of the programs that we have. The first one is the Aging and Disability Resource Center, and a lot of these are separate or individual contracts that we have from the Department of Aging and Independent Living. This is a program where we simply provide, if individuals call our office, we provide them information on senior living, senior services or disabled people with disabilities, their services. Elder abuse prevention, home care services. That is one of our bigger programs where we provide assessments for individuals that are age 60 and older. We do case management for these individuals to make sure we identify what needs they have to make sure that they're able to stay in their housing so they don't have to go to a nursing home or another type of care facility. Personal care, and so that could be helping with bathing, dressing, and things of that nature. So this is what one of our home care individuals in our office would identify, and then we would have a home care aide go out and perform those services for individuals. The long-term care ombudsman, that is actually a contract that we subcontract out to Legal Aid of the Bluegrass. And they do, that's really just to help with individuals make sure they're being treated fairly and whatnot at nursing homes. The National family caregiver support. That is to provide respite services. So if an individual needs round-the-clock care or attention, they can qualify for that program to give that individual that stays with an elderly or a disabled person respite to be able to go and do shopping and whatnot. The participant directed services, PDS, these are individuals that qualify, that would qualify to go to a nursing home, but they do not, they want to live in their home. So they can actually hire client or services themselves, hire individuals to perform services for them. And we monitor those services and make sure that they're being performed up to the standards. Personal care attendant program. This is a contract that we sub out to the Center for Independent Living out of Cincinnati. They, individuals here, if you have the loss of two or more limbs, that's how you would qualify for that program. And again, a lot of these programs are designed to make sure individuals are able to stay in their homes and not go to an extended care or a nursing home facility. And in the senior centers, we have 5 senior centers and 1 feeding site, so 1 senior center per county. We also have a regional kitchen that is located in Menifee County. All of the food, all of the meals that are served at our senior centers or to our home-delivered clients, all of that is cooked out of 1 location in Menifee County and then delivered out to our 4 other counties. In the senior centers, we do activities for them, exercises. We have guest speakers that come in to make sure that, it's really we like to say it's for recreation and socialization for the seniors to get out there. And just in the last few months, we've seen a very large increase in the numbers of those programs. And we're trying to get out and promote those more. So hopefully the numbers will continue to rise for our senior centers. The state health insurance program, this is also a contract that Legal Aid completes for us. But that just helps with Medicaid, any insurance questions and whatnot that an elderly person may have, they can call that line and get information. It's one thing to talk about the services that we provide, but it's another thing to put numbers and see how many people are actually impacted in our region. And these statistics were taken for 1 month. So the Meals on Wheels program, again, and the congregate meals, these are out of our senior center. So you can see we served 107 clients and 2,038 meals. So a lot of individuals will get a meal, will get 1 delivery per month, and that would be maybe for 20 meals or 10 meals, frozen meals that they can prepare themselves, microwave themselves for that month. The congregate meals are meals that are actually served out of our senior center. So, and those numbers are actually lower because we do what is than what we actually serve, I should say, because we do what's called a potluck day every Tuesday at all of our centers. And those are not documented meals because they do not meet the requirements for the state nutrition meal program. So we do not document those. So those numbers are smaller than what they really are, what you see there. The home care, we have 60 clients, and we refer to units. So an individual can actually get home care or, homemaking or personal care, and every 30 minutes that one of our home care aides are there, that's 1 unit. So an individual on a given day could get home care and homemaking or even respite, and that could add up to multiple units. Caregiver support, that is primarily respite units. And then the PCAP, again, that is just for program coordination, case management. That's how those number of units are documented. Preventive health, Those can be things from our senior center, such as our evidence-based exercise units. So if we have, after the seniors eat, then if they do program or exercise activities, then we count units for that. And all of this is reported to the state. And then on our waiver program, the PDS clients, we have 83 and 33 traditional. And the difference in that is, as I mentioned, like the PDS clients, they can hire their own workers with a program, while the traditional, an organization actually comes in and performs services for them. The next, or the last department that we have is project development and GIS. Here, we provide grant and loan assistance, community and economic development, revolving loan fund at the Office for Small Businesses. SEDS, which is an economic development document that we create for the Economic Development Administration. We have dabbled in broadband planning, hazard mitigation planning. We have a housing program, which we work with our fellow nonprofits. We have completed tourism documents for marketing and planning documents. And the other thing is strategic planning. We do planning documents for local governments, but not just local governments, for our water, wastewater utilities that we serve, and also for businesses, local businesses and other nonprofit organizations. I also want to touch on a couple of state contracts that we have with water and wastewater. We have the Water Management Council, which is comprised of our local elected officials, and also the management for the utilities in our five-county service region. And as I mentioned earlier, they come together quarterly for long-range planning. We help establish water and wastewater management plans for future water and wastewater usage. We help utilities profile projects. So this is this forward planning initiative. So we sit down with the utilities. We ask them, okay, what are you going to need over the next ten years? And we help them get cost estimates so that the management of these utilities kind of know what to expect into the future. We do comprehensive mapping through our contract with the Kentucky Infrastructure Authority. We have very detailed mapping information for all of our water and sewer utilities, which is a very big help to these entities. We, a couple of years ago, we published what we called the Big Stat Book, and this went over exceedingly well. We hope to do another update of that this year. And what that book did was compare water sewer rates for all the utilities in our region. It also used customer statistics, usage totals, a lot of information in there that our local officials and the management of the utilities found very interesting. So we hope to publish something like that again. Regional Transportation Committee, the local officials, our board members, as well as the highway district offices across our region sit in on this, and we help develop and identify potential projects for highways, for the Transportation Cabinet for state highways. And then we also, along with our state contract, we also do a lot of data collection for the state, for our five counties, that assists in the planning phases and to support planning. We also do transportation mapping as well. Another thing we do is custom GIS and GPS mapping. This is a field, if you will, that we've seen a lot of growth in recently. We do custom mapping projects for not just local governments, but here recently we've done a lot for businesses, a lot of analysis and demographic data. We have high accuracy GPS data through that we collect with Trimble GPS products. I don't know if anyone in the room is aware, but that's the industry standard. So we've done a lot of that for water and sewer as well as roadways. And we're looking to partner more with other nonprofits and other co-ops in our area. We also do land use mapping, large format printing and scanning. That's also been something we've seen a lot of growth in recently. Web mapping has really taken off. We're actually doing a project right now with Morehead Tourism where we are providing mapping support for the bicycle and pedestrian plan that's currently being developed. And we also do zoning mapping. So for cities that have zoning, we've assisted them in developing that. And again, I just wanted to talk about some projects that our organization has helped with. City of West Liberty, we did a downtown business and marketing plan, and we helped secure funding for that through Appalachian Regional Commission. The Owingsville, this was a couple of 3 years ago. I'm sure some of you remember when CTI Foods moved in to the Owingsville Industrial Park, or they did a very large expansion. We helped the City of Owingsville seek funding and did the project administration to help the wastewater infrastructure be able to accommodate the growth of that industry. With the Menifee County Senior Center and Regional Kitchen, as I mentioned, the Regional Kitchen is where all of our meals for the congregate and the home-delivered meals are prepared daily. We received coal severance money. We helped the Menifee County Fiscal Court receive coal severance money, a community development block grant, and Appalachian Regional Commission funding. And the City of Mount Sterling, the Du Bois Community Center, this was an old, for those of you, some of you may be aware, it was an old school in Mount Sterling, and the gym was the only thing left standing, and it had fallen into a state of disrepair. So we helped them secure funding to renovate that building, and now it's being used as a community center. And then, of course, for Morehead, we are assisting the plant board in the City of Morehead in the planning for the regional water treatment plant. And so that's a very large project that we've been working with them on for about the past year. Just to close, we want our organization to be the first thing that people think about when they think about planning or social services. We want to be the people that you call. And we believe that we have, as a regional organization, economies to scale because we are an extension of our local governments. So we believe that we provide a very high quality product because we have a lot of professionals in our organization across different disciplines. And the big help here is that these are positions that the local units of government would not be able to afford on their own. So it's the regional approach that you're able to come together and get these services. And we also provide a very holistic and regional perspective. I know there's several people in the audience that have been to our board meetings, and as Gail Wright, the former executive director, always, that was her big thing, was a regional approach, because, and I believe that our board currently, they understand that what happens in Morehead or Owingsville impacts our entire region because we are so closely spatially together. So it truly does have a big impact, and that's something that our organization helps facilitate. And as I already mentioned, we are an extension of our local government. So we essentially are the staff of the local government. That's what we're there for. That's really all I have. I appreciate, again, Tracy inviting us to come out. And we hope to be coming out and visiting with some of our fellow nonprofits and county governments in the coming weeks and months. So I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.